Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Podcast, brought to you guys by sportsshoes.com. As always, European champs is right upon us, mate, starting on Monday. So looking forward to a whole host of action next week. You going down Thursday, mate? Is that the day?
Going Thursday, yeah. Men's steeple heats, women's semi-finals that morning. So yeah, that should be a pretty good session actually. But yeah, and it kicks off with an absolute banger. Men's 5K final, straight final. We haven't seen Jakob in a year. Oh boy, what's everything on the line, and that kicks off the champs that evening. Really, I mean, men's eight heats are obviously in the morning, and women's steeple heats as well. But yeah, what a way to kickstart the European champs. They've done a good job scheduling that one for night one.
Yeah, and it's actually quite nice, I think, for Jakob in that no one's going to see how he looks in a heat, because I'm pretty sure if my memory serves right, last year, kind of saw him in the heat, and everyone was like, ah, yeah, he's a bit crap. and then it was kind of like there was no expectation, really.
Yeah.
And it also probably plays into his hands as well. Doesn't have to double back. Like, he can just one shot, see how he gets on.
And how is he going to race it? How, you know, obviously we know 2 years ago when the European champs in Rome, Jakob's in the shape of his life, has a terrific year that year, and becomes the Olympic champion over 5K. He schooled the 5K at Euros. Mills was second. Labalu, who was doing the 5K 10K double, was third on that occasion. But it's talk about a few of these men, because that's obviously going to shape how Jakob races it. I mean, there's eight men sub 30 minutes in this race. Will they push it on? I mean, have any of those men got the confidence to make this a 13-minute race and see how fit Jakob really is? Saying that, it's probably fair to say that, considering this Achilles injury, and obviously looking at him when he last raced, which is in Tokyo, that's all these men have got to go off, basically, is like his speed is, he's struggling to get fast. So he might be strong, but he might not necessarily be as fast as he used to be. And so maybe people will be tempted to make it a real kicker's race.
Yeah, it's true. Perhaps. I mean, obviously Philip's in there as well, and the two of them will know exactly what kind of shape the other one's in. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jakob is in some decent shape, if there's a bit of team tactics in there, for the brothers in there. But I mean, if anyone's going to make it quick, Jimmy Gressier perhaps might.
I disagree. I think Gressier will go for a kick. You know, he won the world champs on a kick last year.
I just think he's such a showman, though.
I think a lot of these guys are, they're all strength guys, but, you know, Gressier is obviously a strength guy, but he has an incredible kick on him. And I think he might be the one to, he won't be doing anything. I think it could come down to what, like someone like Florian Brehm, the German, who's run 12:56, looked incredible at the Paavo Nurmi Games earlier this year. Someone like that, or the other German, Mo Abdullahi. He's a 12:50 man. Labalu might push it on. Kimeli, obviously good kick for him at last year's Worlds. You know, he might fancy pushing things on again. Don't think he's, you know, we haven't seen quite the best of him. Haven't seen the 2025 Kimeli this year. But yeah, and he obviously won that Diamond League in kicking form. So yeah, it's going to be a really interesting matchup between all of those guys. But I disagree with you. I think Gressier definitely waits and tries to outkick everyone.
Yeah, perhaps he is coming back for the 10 as well, so maybe doesn't want it to be particularly quick. I mean, James West will be hoping it comes down to a kick, right? The lone British athlete in there. Irish team, though,
definitely will.
They've got their three best men in there. They've got Griggs, McElhenney, and Brian Fay in there. It's a really exciting team for them. But actually, mate, I mean, I think this race is pretty wide open, personally.
It is wide open. It's really hard to call.
And it's nice for us having Jakob in there, because if there was someone, I don't know, you had a proper stud in there, I think we'd be thinking, oh yeah, there's no chance. But actually, I think Jakob's got a chance. I don't think we can write him off.
I think he's got every chance. And actually, yeah, just given the year we're having as well, like given the fact that Gressier and Kimeli both coming off their best ever seasons last year, I don't think they've been bloody good this year, but I don't think they've quite been. And maybe they're looking to peak at the Europeans. We haven't seen that much of everyone. You know, we've seen the odd race from the big names here and there, but we haven't seen them consistently on a Diamond League, partly because we've got this sort of Diamond League blackout as we had the commies, 120s, Euros, you know, this time of year. So we haven't seen people really, really sort of routinely on the circuit since gym, you know, when we saw them all sort of kickstart their summer campaign. So how have they changed? And we know Gressier is one of the best in the world at peaking. There's another man to watch out for, a guy called Carlos Pinto of Portugal. And when you look him up, he's run 22.8 for a 200 back in 2018. Started his career as like, talk about Almgren moving up in distances. This guy takes it to another level. But now he's a 12.59 guy in the Portuguese national record art. He's going to be doing the 15 as well. Some of you might have seen him on the circuit. But yeah, someone like that then becomes like a fascinating candidate for to try and shoot for gold. But I think Jakob could lean into his old tactics and try and... What he's lost is he's lost that aura. He's lost that power of like, okay, Jakob's now at the front. We're all at his mercy. We're all at his beck and call, basically. And no one's, in a 5K at least, no one's been able to challenge him over that last 400. He's dictated things going into the bell, and he's just controlled and managed to pull away from everyone and sort of turn the screw. And that's all well and good. You can use that tactic when you're fit. And if you're not fit and these guys are confident, confident they could challenge you in the home straight, that then becomes very difficult.
Yeah.
Because you set yourself up to be attacked.
Look, it's exciting. And like you say, great one to kick us off. It's probably not much more to say. I think we've touched upon all the big hitters. I guess the guys doubling up. So Mike Foppen's doubling up. Lebalu's doubling up. Gressier, Camelli.
Abdullahi. They're all doubling. The only man who's not is Andreas Almgren. Weird. Straight final in the 5 days recovery till the 10K. Don't understand why he's not in the 5K. I don't understand that. Considering, you know, the form
he's been a bit disappointing, though, hasn't he?
He hasn't.
I really thought that's a smart thing to do, right? Because if you're coming in and you're really hot and everything's been going your way, then yeah, great. But I think actually maybe it's the smart move.
Yeah, he's going to be racing guys. Pretty much that whole 10K field is doubling.
Apart from the Brits.
Or starting their week in on the 5K on the Monday morning. What are you going to say apart from Ingebrigtsen?
No, apart from the Brits. I mean, it's a big advantage for BT Malarkey and Wigfield.
Yeah. And the only other guy I think this is not doubling, Kripp is just doing the 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another guy there as well.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to talk about the 10 now, seeing as there's so much crossover?
Yeah, yeah. And what, and the chance of the Brits, I think, obviously, yeah, in the 5K, we've just got Westy, which, credit to him, you know, he was there in 2024, and he's back there in 2026, and his big thing is definitely he wants to go to LA, and he wants to go in the 5K. Mm. He doesn't want to go in any other event. You know, this isn't the guy who's going to step up. He's certainly not going to be stepping down. So for him now, it's, you know, this season for him was just get back, but I think he's got that silver lining of actually getting to the Euros. I'm not sure he was planning it much, but he's there. And now it's like, okay, how close can you get to those guys? How can you contend? And it's kind of the same in the men's 10 with BT Malarkey and Wigfield. A few years ago when Paddy did this in 2024, Paddy Deaver led that 10K for several laps towards the back end. He really drove it on. I mean, it was a 28-minute race in the end, but it paid off. He came sixth, and he came sixth to Gressier, to Almgren, to Lebalu, you know, guys who have run 26.40 something. And he got out kicked and, you know, on the last lap, and that was it for Paddy Deaver, and, you know, moved up to the marathon and whatnot. But I really, you know, that run, you know, I remember it quite vividly because I just thought I was so impressed with the way that he asked the question. Because when you get to these championships, everyone's got great PBs, but it might not be in PB shape. And when you're in Birmingham and it's hot and it's a bit windy, blah, 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 the chances of everyone running a PB that night is very rare. So you may as well just ask it. Megan Keith did it at Commies and it paid off. And I wonder if Malarkey or BT, Wigfield, I think slightly different. I wonder if they'll try
something.
Though,
mate, the difference for them is they go in ranked third and fourth on season's best. So they're not even, well, it's different maybe for Wigfield, but for BT and Malarkey.
Oh, I didn't even know that, but
that's the thing. Like, obviously, there's some names in there. You've got people like Jonas Reis who've run quick outside of this year. You've got Lebalu who's run quick outside of this year.
Yeah,
you've got Gressier hasn't raced this year. Camelli hasn't raced over 10 this year either.
No, they don't.
But season's best for wise, they're third and fourth.
Yeah,
but I think even on PBs, they're fifth and sixth though. So
I'm really,
yeah,
on outright PBs in the 10K.
Mm-hmm. The only guys who run, so Mohamed Abdullahi, Foppen, Kripa, Camelli, and Gressier are the only guys who've run quicker.
Wow. So the big, yeah, basically the big five and yeah. Then it's those guys. Yeah, fair play, actually. Yeah, that does sound about right. Obviously they race sound. A lot of these people didn't race sound. So, yeah, that's why. But yeah, I mean, you know, Malarkey had a great run at Com. He's going to be full of confidence. I think Beatty should be full of confidence as well. And yeah, for me, it's just, okay, do they try something? Do they acknowledge that, hey, look, we have, I mean, that's basically what Paddy Deavy went into this race in 2 years ago. He went in and he probably was sitting in a similar position. And he's like, well, if I try to make this the equivalent of, I know the end time might not reflect it, but if I try to make this equivalent of like a 27:30 race, chances are a lot of guys aren't going to be at it and I'm going to finish in a top eight spot. And that's probably what, you know, BT Malarkey, even Wakefield should try and attack.
Yeah.
That top eight.
I think definitely. I think the one thing is, like you say, some of these guys who aren't doubling. So I'm going, really, does he just wait?
So I'm going to Cripper, really.
I'm going to Cripper. All these guys come in tired and they think, right, we just made this hard from the gun and we just blow the 5K boys out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, you're making it like these 5K boys, like a 5K would kill them off. Like,
true.
It's not rounds. They all used to doubling. It's not rounds. They do a 5K on Monday. They're going to do a, Sunday night? That 10K final?
Yeah, probably do a little
Saturday or Sunday night. Yeah, like genuinely, they will be, they'll be fine. There won't be any sort of, but I think there's definitely an element of, there's a lot of people you can outrun, through the sort of second half of this race.
Mm.
If someone's willing to push the pace and that's, you can basically get rid of all the 27, 40, 45 people. You can really axe all of those if you just press on like Paddy did 2 years ago. And,
Yeah, you're right, mate. So I guess, the big names, Jimmy Gressier, Arm Gren, and Abdullahi of Germany, they're your three, Arm Cripper, of course. So they're your big four. Can anyone else shake up that pie?
Yeah. Did you say Labala as well? Dominic Labala, defended champ.
Yeah, defended, but I think champ. Compared to those boys, she's just way off.
Labali's a class act. He's always there. I think, you know, and he obviously won. He got a bronze in the five as well. I think sometimes he can be a little passive. Like he can just be letting others do their thing, and not take races on when that might be his best shot. And so seeing what he does, but, they're all, especially like you said, all those 5Ks doubling back. I mean, they've had great races when it kicked. Cripper. One in 2022. Almgren as well, you know, medaled a couple of years back, gone out kicked by Labali. But I think Almgren is, strategically, he really wants to make sure he gets that European gold. And so he is probably going to run a very, very sensible race, and sort of like Farah-esque cover moves, not do anything stupid, make sure he's there with sort of 600, 800 to go. And then I could well see Almgren press from a little further out. I don't think he's got that raw 100 meter speed that someone like Gressier has, who can get really like, he could just get really just down and dirty with it and just rip that last 100. Almgren doesn't have that. He is going to need to wind it up a bit, I think.
Yeah. I think so. I don't think, I mean, Cripper as well, like, is one, comes in with the strength. I know his marathons maybe haven't gone as well as he'd have liked, but the training he's done is going to mean that he's super strong. And again, not doubling, so probably happy to make this quite fast. Yeah, I think if they leave it, Gressier is the one you look at, right?
Cripper's in great form. Make no mistake about it. 59.01 over the half early year, and yeah, he's been sharpening up for this. I know he's had 2 years where he's really committed to the marathon, but he would have been sharpening up for this and getting back to that sort of his best 10K form. And so I am intrigued as well. He's another one. I think it's wide open. The men's 10 and the men's 5 are absolutely wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we chat about the women 5 and 10?
Which isn't wide open. Door is absolutely closed. I mean, it's almost the opposite, isn't it, with Bartoletti?
Yeah, I mean, Bartoletti is obviously the one you look at as a big one. I mean, Maureen Costa's probably the only person that could perhaps challenge her, the Dutch woman, and then you've got, I guess, Sarah Healy of Ireland and Nuttall and Fitzgerald deciding whether, yeah, like who's maybe going to get on the podium, I think. And I think, yeah, they've certainly got a chance.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Bataclitti lost to a couple of Europeans in Costa and Sarah Madeline earlier on in the year. Do you remember at the Rome Diamond League? So, yeah, it's not as nailed on as I'm sort of saying, but
she's been quiet by now to be.
Yeah, well, she's been quiet since that Rome. Yeah, she's been very quiet since the Rome Diamond League. She was obviously ill going into it, pulled out of a couple of races. I think it's taken her a little while this season, but the only race she's done since then is national champs, where she won the 15. She won the Italian champs over 1500 and 5K. And so that's obviously her just tuning up for the Euros. And yeah, one would expect her to be back towards her best. I mean, she ran 14:40 being, you know, and was ill in Rome. So it's not slow, is it?
Well, yeah, considering there's only what?
Three women who've done that?
Six people who've run sub 15 in the whole field. Only five this year.
I'm telling you, mate. Hannah Nuttall has big chance of a medal if she gets this right. Because yeah, you're right. Only three women are faster than those women you mentioned who have run sub 15. I think only three have run faster than Hannah Nuttall and Ines Fitzgerald on the start list.
Yeah, apart from Elise van der Lesse, but she's not raced this year over 5K.
Yeah.
She comes in with 14:40 PB, but hasn't raced this year.
No, but Nuttall's run 14:39, isn't she?
Yeah, but I'm saying there or there. Right. Yeah.
No, I know. Right. Yeah. But like, yeah. Ines and Nuttall, 43, like outright lifetime best. It's like you were saying about BTM and like they're right up there. They're medal contenders.
Yeah, I think, and not to be harsh to BT Malarkey, but I guess the difference is, I think they really
that's
could
a big
medal.
Gap.
I think they really could medal. Whereas I think for BT Malarkey, I think top six is would be a outstanding run.
Well, this is it. You know, where was Nuttall a couple of years back? Was she eighth in Izzy Fry ninth or roles reversed the other way around? Maybe I remember, but this European Championships is really it's. It offers big breakthroughs for people.
And great timing as well.
Great timing. Yeah. Just great timing. If they can make a name for themselves here, because it's not just making a name for themselves, it's giving themselves that confidence to go, actually, I've now medaled on a European stage. I've really competed on a European stage. The next step is the world. And I'm going to be so much more confident going into the world, going into the Olympics.
Not just that, though. I think that the domino effect of the potential to get on funding, the potential to get increased endorsement deals, take your training to the next level over the next couple of years because of the financial backing that comes from off the back of maybe meddling at Europeans from your sponsor, from British Athletics, whatever it is. The fact that it means that, well, if you medal at Europeans, right, you could then be someone that gets a discretionary spot for the Olympics because you've had a medal in recent years. The difference 100%. It makes is huge. Like, not just in terms of like the step forward, like physically and emotionally.
Yeah, takes that burden, that stress off over the next 2 years that a lot of people will have chasing standards, X, Y, and Z. Yeah. You're right. You're dead right. And Hannah Nuttall, Ines, I'm not so sure after the Commonwealth Games, and again, her time is a very one-dimensional time, whereas Nuttall does have the skill set to race a 5K in many different ways.
Certainly does.
If you're Nuttall, if you're Fitzgerald, do you sort of take a leaf out of Megan Keefe's book and go, hey, do you know what? If this is a 15
minute... does. I don't think Nuttall needs to. Her kick's good enough. I think she just...
Bataclitti has been untested, really. You know, Rome Diamond League, she got beat by a couple of Europeans. She's been untested since. Done her national champs. Played things relatively safe. She probably is in amazing shape. But it's more like, okay, it's a straight final. There's no heat. You haven't got that sort of added fatigue. Do you make this a sort of 14:55, 14:50 race and then try and kick off it? And then at least someone like Nuttall would be getting to the bell and there would maybe be four women at the bell. And then you're kicking for a medal, as opposed to making this a 15:30 race. You get to the bell, there's 10 women. Anything can happen. Positioning's crucial.
I think Nuttall backs a kick. I think Ines, I think it would be nice to see her maybe get things moving. I think both of them, though, would welcome someone else doing that, but I can't see Nuttall doing it herself. But I think, say, Costa decides to make it a bit quicker. I think the one to watch, though, obviously Sarah Healy, if it comes down to a kick, it could be really
good. Exactly. Yeah, and that's my prime example of, like, if you were to test people like your Healy's of this world, you know, those women who are right on the sort of cusp of, she's like 14, 50, isn't she, Sarah?
48, yeah.
48. If you were to test those sorts of women, chances are in a championship, you know, it's not the same environment. It's not wavelengths. It's not the same environment as a Diamond League, and they probably won't enjoy it.
No, like you're like,
and you might be able to get rid of them.
Sarah Healy runs 14:50 on the night. You're like, that's a cracking run, right?
It's a cracking run. Yeah, so, you might be. I think you could get rid of at least three quarters of this field if it was a 15-minute race.
Yeah, they've not run that quick this year, though. Nuttall and Fitzgerald.
No.
So they're not particularly accustomed to running that rhythm.
Yeah.
So that is the.
No, I mean, you have got to be an exceptional athlete to do that. And I'm not saying they. Will
I think Costa. I think Costa might try and just run away from Bacletti anyway, because I don't think if she wants to win it, I don't think she leaves it to a kid.
Mm.
She's going in the 10 as well, so she'll be trying to do that double.
Yeah, and India Weir, I guess just good opportunity
for
her.
Get
stuck
see
in.
What happens? Yeah, she'll hope it's a 15:30 race, right? And that she can pick some people off.
She's got a good kick. Yeah. Yeah, she's got a good kick. I think so. I think, she'll just sort of basically bide her time and try and position herself for the last K. Women's 10, I mean, Megan Keith is, I would still say Battaglietti is the heavy favourite. Jana van Lent, Diane Vanez, Maureen Costa is obviously doing it again. Could even see a Dutch 1-2 at this rate. It'd look very good, Diane Vanez and Costa. But yeah, Megan Keith, for me, confirmation of how she needs to race, do what she did at Commies. Really throw it down, test these women from a long way out, and I think she can get a medal, without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, I guess she got it absolutely right.
It's basically like four big names.
Last weekend.
It's like four big names, right? And if one of them's having a bad day, did she could run it out of it? Run it out.
Yeah, I mean, Clara Lukin's in there as well. Obviously, not got the track pedigree, but... sub 30 on the roads, like still 10 kilometers, right? So again, does she make it quick? Does she hint to you at all, mate, off air last week? No insights.
She's
no
preparing
insights.
For it. What Megan does really well is just when the race is starting, when people are looking for a bit of a respite, she makes it hard. Mm. And if I was her, you know, I would do that again in this 10. I think that's, you know, just at that point in the race where things are starting to calm down, maybe a few initial surges have played out, not much has come of them, then you've got to step on the gas, put some doubts in people's mind. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think Megan Keith and Battaglietti could run away with this thing and have a real 1v1 battle.
Yeah.
If Megan Keith, like you say, makes it hard at the right time, I think the two of them could run away from the field.
Yeah, maybe. I think what's interesting about this women's 10K is there's a lot of quality on the, and they've all run exceptionally well on the roads. You know, you talk about Clara Luca and Jana van Lent, like they've all run very well on the roads. And so how does that transfer over to the track? What, you know, what are they like when they get in a championship 10K? You know, we saw how hard it was at the Commies when the pace was just yo-yoing around, what that did to people. So what are they like in that sort of championship style race? And Rose Davies was dominant in the Commies. I think she was the person who was best equipped. Definitely the way they train, they do a lot of in and out work. I think for those groups, she was the best equipped for that sort of championship style race. And yeah, I wonder how many of, and the other person who's very well equipped is, of course, Battaglietti. She's been there. She's done it. On multiple occasions. She's going to be very hard to drop. I don't think anyone's going to break Battaglietti. It's just... And I don't think any of them have a faster kick than Battaglietti either, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd probably say the 10
is maybe...
too hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much to... Because she's got so much time to just chill out and...
Yeah.
I just... Yeah.
And also other people have to... You know, if someone like Megan goes to the front, she has to do... a lot much. More work for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just put in four strong laps. You've probably got to be putting in like eight or nine strong laps. And that is a big ask.
Yeah. It isn't like you've hinted to, mate. Yeah. Potentially the weather's going to be crap. So it's not going to be nice.
Well, it looks, to be fair, temperatures look good. It might be a bit hot for a 10K, but it's in the evening. I don't, but,
I'm sure it'll be windy.
That's what I'll be at. Birmingham. Yeah.
It's not like they're in a stadium, right? It's a two-sided stadium.
In a bowl.
It's like going to Bristol Rovers.
No, they put up temporary stands, mate. I'm on the top end. They got big temporary stands. I mean, they're converting it into maybe 50,000. Talking of 50,000, there is a, how are they phrasing it? There's a golden, basically a golden crown for top performers in an event group at the Euros. As five event groups. An event group is basically if you run any distance event, you're in one event group. Sprints are one, throws are one.
Steeples and hurdles?
No, it's not actually. Should be, shouldn't it? Steeples, actually, I reckon it'd be harder to get the golden crown. No, steeples.
Well, is it points based or is it?
So it's all done on your world ranking score. So whoever gets the highest world ranking score, performance score, gets the golden crown in their event group. 50K.
It's cool.
So, yeah. Not bad.
Surprised Josh Kerr's not thinking, get around 326, see what happens.
He's already got his 50K for his world record this year.
Mate, he wasn't pleased.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, but I like that about Kerr as well, that he's just happy to be like, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a joke, really.
It is. It's, what's more of a joke is when they forced a check in front of him to hold, and it's like on TV, and
which
the 50K one,
isn't it?
And then they put the, did he get like a 5K one for a British? I was just like, oh no, get that off the screen. People have just finished watching Wimbledon where the prize money is 1.2 mil, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's not 18 different disciplines at Wimbledon.
No, but I think the 100 meters and the mile, they are, I saw a post the other day. It was like, these aren't just athletics records. These are like historical milestones.
Yeah.
And it's true. It is true.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. But yeah, so women's 10K. I think a bit more open maybe than the five. Oh, I don't know. No, I'm talking shit, mate. Nah, I think Battaglietti just does a double, doesn't she? And,
yeah. She definitely, if she comes, she turns up and shit, I think she does do that.
But I think this is the one. I think Megan Keith medals. I think Megan Keith, gets a silver. And I think, and then the five, Hannah Nuttall's got a shot.
Yeah, I think Keith, if she medals, she's going to have to outrun people. You know, Costa's very, very, Costa's fast. Jana Van Lenn's fast. Diana Van Ezit, she's going to have to outrun people. She's going to have to lean into what was so successful at the commies, and I think she will. She'll be full of confidence.
Yeah. So what were we predicting there? So we're predicting across the five and 10 men, no medals. And then we're predicting perhaps two across the women's 5 and 10. So medal counts at a silver and a bronze right now, right? Maybe.
Yeah. That would be huge. But
across four events so far. Is that what we're
predicting? I'll back it, yeah.
Silver for Keith, bronze for Nuttall across the 5 and 10s.
Yeah, she can sneak a bronze if everything goes away.
Let's keep the medal count going. Then let's move across to the gold. Let's hang it around Elise Thorner's neck in the women's steeple. The two Germans are going to be tough, right?
Yeah, Fino, Krauser, and Krauser and Meyer, the two Germans, they're sub 9:10, they're low 9 minute performers, and I think Krauser is actually lifetime best, a bit quicker than Elise's. But yeah, it's not, I think Elise is in great shape and she's in incredible form. However, like we spoke about previously, is like, what does she do when it's sort of a three-way race or a four-way race? What does Elise do? You know, what's her tactics going to be? Is it just sit and wait and kick? Krauser's, she's won this title before. She's a great kicker. When you kick, you do open a door to potentially sort of missing out on that gold. But also, likewise, obviously, if she tries and takes this race on and makes it really hard for them, she might run herself out. So it's going to be... Yeah, Elise is going to have to scheme up a pretty nice tactic here to beat these women, but she's certainly capable of doing it.
Yeah, she is. And like you say, I don't think you can disregard form. Like, it's great to have some good personal best. Like, I think you mentioned Fino, but Elise is the one that comes in. She's in the best shape of her life and it's going really well. I think I'm not going to pretend I watched Elise Thorner race in the NCAA, but let's hope, I guess, some of that racing experience comes into play at this level now.
Yeah, the only The only thing I would say about Elise Thorner, which it can either work in her favor or work against her, is the fact that she's just come off such an incredible high at the Commonwealth Games. And she has had a not really a breakthrough season, because she kind of did that a couple of seasons back, but she's continued to get better and better and better. And she's raced quite a lot this year, and she's raced quite a lot at a very, very high level. And so the only thing that might work against her is the fact that she's got a heat, which is going to be very much, it's a pain for her. It's like, oh God, man, I just want to get to this final and compete for this gold. So she's got a heat to get through, which is another race that she's got to do. And then obviously the final. Now, she's exceptionally strong and she's in the shape of her life. So you presume she'll cope with all of that okay, but it's been a big year for her. It's been a very, very busy year, and it's just sometimes your body isn't as fresh. You know, who knows? These athletes could pick up a little bit of illness post-commies, that sort of thing. I remember Whiteman after Worlds and then went to, you know, ran the commies when he won Worlds, ran the commies in Birmingham. What was it, 2 weeks later or 10 days later? You come off these highs and it can be difficult. So that's probably the one sort of banana skin, at least Thorner, that she'll be aware of, whereas you've got Krauser and Meyer, who are just built into this very steadily, and they haven't had to taper down for a race. They haven't had to sort of adjust training at all.
Yeah, I think you're bang on in terms of there can be a bit of a come down. I think the good thing for Elise is that she didn't win the commies and she didn't run the British record. So there's two things in there that I think, not that she'll have expected to do, but things that certainly her and Helen Clitheroe will have chatted about, and they'll know that they're a wheelhouse. So I think that hunger's still going to be there for both of those things. And hey, she might go after that record in the final, or have to, based off what other people are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing for me is she's incredibly rhythmic. She's great at running 72 point, 73 point, you know, from in and around at 9.05 to 9.10. Even, you know, a touch slower. But then if this is a nine, if they're jogging around at 9.40, 9.50, how does her body feel? Because sometimes it can feel worse in the steeple, especially because you've got the barriers, you know, so then your barriers become messy. You start wasting energy because you're jogging around. You've got no momentum going into the water jump. Those sorts of things can all cause some added fatigue at a pace you think you should be chilling at.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, if I'm Elise, how will she run it? Yeah, I mean, you've probably just got to give it a couple laps and then start to control it and know that they're going to be with you to the end. And the Germans might try some, but I doubt it.
Yeah, they might. I mean, maybe Elise will get some help from Sarah Tate or Stevie Lawrence Riss, but.
But, I mean, we could definitely, you know, on PBs, we definitely get three in this final, which would be huge. Again, just another good advert for steeple, which at the English schools had heats for. It's mental.
Yeah, there you have it. So yeah, Elise Thorner, we'll be giving her gold, silver.
I will give her a gold.
We'll give it a gold. All right, so we're on three medals after five events now. Gold, silver, and bronze. Men's steeple next.
Stupidly optimistic.
Hey, I think. It's not a bad shout.
No.
Men's steeple, I don't think.
We're doing well if we get, we're doing well if they make the final, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think Imroth for sure will be, he'll expect to make the final as a minimum. I think, yeah, Bashir and Zach, if they can make the final, I think it's nice runs from there.
Yeah, look, I'm just not sure whether they'll do two heats or three heats. I think they'll do three heats of 12. I think there's 36 of them in there, three heats of 12. And it's not entirely sure what the number is in the final, whether it's 12 in the final or 16 in the final. Previously, they've had, or at quite a few major champs, they've had 15 in the final or sort of 15 or even 16 in the final, which means, yeah, they go 15 in the final, top five in each heat, which is very doable when it's, you know, if it's an 8:30 race and there's a close and there's a kick, anything can happen, good positioning, etc. And I think that will certainly appeal. If there's just 12 in the final, it becomes a little trickier because, yeah, you've got a number of men, I think 13 have broken 8:20 this year. I think that's excluding Imroth as well, because I was just sort of looking like people the Brits would have to beat. And so it's, yeah, if it's top four in each heat, that's going to be challenging. But 15 in the final, I think we can definitely get one or two in there.
Yeah, Imhoff's 13th, mate, on season's bests. And then you've got another one, two.
But it's wide open, man. I think the funny thing with the steeple, and I think this is probably the same on the women's side as well, why some of the sort of season's best were down this year, is actually a lot of these men haven't and women haven't had the opportunity to do a really good steeple. There's only been a couple of Diamond Leagues, and those Diamond Leagues have been obviously been largely dominated by the Africans, El Bakali, by people like Beamish, who have that pedigree, Murrah of Japan. So actually, Europeans haven't been able to get into these Diamond Leagues. And because of that, there haven't really been any races for them to go fast. And so a lot of them are sitting at 8.17, 8.18 season's best.
But mate, I just counted up as well. So you mentioned, so Imhoff goes in ranked 13th on season's best.
Yeah.
There's another 10 guys who've got PBs under 8.20.
Yeah. Well, obviously that was a qualifying time. And when you have a qualifying time like that, you're going to get guys under it for sure. And yeah, it's incredibly deep, and it's going to be a bit of luck on the day, to be honest, of how people are feeling. Everyone's got their own thing going on, right? Some people are shaping their life. Some people are sort of hanging on long season or bouncing back from injury, illness, whatever. And so, yeah, it's going to be, and I imagine because of that, the races are going to be just your typical 8:30 to 8:40 tempo, and they're going to be big. It's going to be big last Ks. There's no real front runners. Maybe Rupert goes to the front and pushes things on for a mile, but yeah, there's no natural front runner.
No, and Rupert is the one, isn't he, that we expect to take the win, and he's by far and away the one who's really elite out of these European steeplers. The depth's improved loads, but Rupert's the one that's actually cracked into that world elite, if you like.
Wow. First European sub 8 minutes, 100%. 7:57, and I think it's his teammate Bebendorf as well of Germany. Like, I think those two Germans, I think we could well see a replay of European champs in 2010, Mikisi and Bob Tari, just sort of toe for toe. I think they ran like 8:01. It was sickening. It's definitely the championship record, and I wonder if we could see a bit of teamwork and those guys go after that champ record on the weekend.
Yeah, oh, I miss Mikisi, mate. I do miss Mikisi.
I know. And then what was it, 2014, whipping the old shirt off? Or 2016, maybe? Can't remember.
14, I think.
Yeah.
And then came back to win the 15.
I think 14 might be when he floors the mascot, and then 16 might have been when he whips the vest off and slings it around his head.
Yeah. Oh, that was a joke, taking that medal off him. Absolutely.
Oh, joke. I know. Pathetic.
Yeah. Anyway, no more medals for us. So, yeah, after six events, we're pinging three for the women and none for the men.
Could be the story of the championship on the distance side, mate.
I mean, it could be, because we're going to chat about the 15s now.
Let's go.
Do you want to do the men or the women first? We'll do the men first and try and argue our ways to a medal for the men in the 1500 meters. Obviously, Whiteman in there, Hayward in there, and Arlo Ludwig in there as well. They'll have to deal with the likes of Habs, Farken, Nader, Koskra, Nordas, Adrian Ben. Yeah. Tough field. But I think Whiteman particularly, he'll come back better after the mile the other week.
Yeah, look, I think the advantage for Whiteman is there's not really a danger man. Whiteman went, whereas he definitely was fixating on Kerr a bit too much in the commies. He was like, Kerr's a danger man, I need to follow him, and went really aggressively after him. And that cost him. And yeah, you know, it was, he couldn't quite get a number of sessions, key sessions in before the champs, whatever. But he could have, you know, he could have come, he probably, if he just raced for a medal, Whiteman could have got a medal at the commies, is what I'm trying to say. And I think he'll look at this now and, yeah, this is all going to be positioning. He knows the threat of Nada in that last 100. I think Whiteman is going to make sure he is, if he's fit and he's healthy, I think he's definitely going to make sure he's either on the shoulder or leading with 200 to go. I think he'll be on the shoulder. He'll be
Which
in a good
is
position.
Dangerous Whiteman, right? That's the Whiteman that wins.
He won't get his positioning wrong at the Euros, I don't think.
I agree with you, mate. I agree with you. So we saying Whiteman for gold?
Gold is tough because obviously, yeah, you have got Nada, you have got, I mean, I even remember a couple of years back when Jakob runs away with it. Like, the Belgian Vermeulen in Arese of Italy. Like, those guys sort of came out of nowhere. You know, they beat Habs. They beat a load of people. They beat Nada, and they got second and third. And that was a 331 race, I'm pretty sure, 332 race by Jakob. So gold is going to be very, very difficult. I think Wyman will
I think the difference
medal.
With that is that someone's running away from it and it's disrupting what goes on behind.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens. I think Wyman outkicks them.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't trust sort of Hayward's positioning. Someone who's got a filthy kick is Arlo Ludwig, and he's definitely got a shot at turning a few heads and causing an upset here.
He's just got to navigate those rounds, and then we'll see.
Because this won't be... I remember when Stonier did this race, 2022, wasn't it? When Hayward got second behind Jakob, yeah. I think Stonier was in that race then. And like similar scenario to Ludwig, like amazing season, big breakthrough, and goes there. But it had Jakob in. And so the race was quite... I can't remember what they want in. But it was reasonably fast.
Yeah, and he was kicking, wasn't he? But he was finishing fast, but it's too late.
There's every chance this race is like 340. Who's taking this up? Who's taking this race up? Falcon, Habs, Nadir? Like, who is going to sit themselves at the front and run 57s, you know, and run 331, 332 speed? No one's going to do that. They'll probably run 59. I think there's every chance this race is a sort of 340 race. It's looking that way with the numbers, with the names involved. And if it is, then Ludwig's he's as fresh as any. Going into that last 200, and he's got an incredible kick. So he definitely has a chance. He has a chance of a medal. He definitely has a chance of being, but they've all got bloody good kicks at this level. And I think that's probably the difference to some of Ludwig's races, you know, BMC Grand Prix and stuff. Yeah. Even British champs, like.
Well, apart from Hayward.
Apart from Hayward, look at Gawley's commies, like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the same Neil Gawley. Hayward's the one who should have a chance, like you say, though. Like, he just
positioning
needs not
is
take
gonna be
too
everything.
Close order.
Yeah, positioning is gonna be everything in this one. And decision making
and
basically, yeah, deciding
not exert too much energy.
And deciding when to just full send. Because there's obviously, you know, there will probably be multiple kicks. It is gonna be a fascinating watch.
I think Hayward in every race I've watched him this year, he like has a period where he gets himself to the front or almost to like say, I'm here and I'm fit, but doesn't
do
anything.
Yeah.
And I'm totally with you, mate. Like he needs to go completely under the radar.
Yeah.
And then when he goes, he needs to go like Arlo will do, but Hayward can do that at a higher level.
Mm. Yeah. My worry with someone like Arlo is at British Champs, he was bold, and I think he needs to take that same mentality, like ignore the fact that you've got a couple world champions in this field and take that same mentality into British Champs. And if there's an opportunity to go to the front and control it, like he did at Champs, I think he should take it. Because if it is like a 340, 342, 345 race, whatever, and they're running 59-60s, he was better than anyone at controlling it.
Yeah. And apart from the Brits,
because the
I
worry
don't think
is
any of the Europeans in this field are going to be watching out for him.
No, and the worry is you leave it to the last 100, you never quite get yourself in a decent position on the last lap. There's so many bodies, world class kickers up ahead of you, and you sort of come close, and you might think, "Oh, is there more there?" But obviously, it's the nature of the beast. These guys will decide what they're going to do and what plays out. You know, and how things should play out best for them. But, men's 1500.
One more medal then to the tally. First one for the men. Jake Wyman, I think is what we're saying. I think Hayward's got a chance, but yeah, not gonna predict that. Not gonna hang out.
I think Arlo Ludwig's got a better chance than Jake Hayward.
There you go.
Easy.
But we're not giving him one, no? We're not taking two from this.
From
our predictions.
To be honest, like, If they sort of update the betting markets and Ludwig's got some decent odds for a medal, I'd definitely put a bet on there. But for the sake of this podcast, I'll say Wyman medals and Ludwig just misses out.
And what colour's Wyman's medal, mate? Silver medal for Wyman. Okay. I'm like gold/silver, so we'll go with silver. Mm. So we have four total. Gold for Elise Thorner. Silvers for Megan Keith and Jake Wyman. And a bronze for Hannah Nuttall. Georgia Hunter-Bell up against Guillemot I think that's the two horse race, if you like. And yeah, I guess since that World Indoors or European Indoors, sorry, where Guillemot took her, I don't think Georgia Bell's looked back, and I don't think she'll be worried.
No, she won't. And yeah, after the Commonwealth Games, I just thought, wow, this is...
It's too easy.
Yeah, this season's such a...
I'd be putting the gold run around her neck in the 800 if she was in it. Yeah.
Whoa, I don't know about that. But yeah, I definitely just this level, I think, yeah, she can definitely... control things like she did the 800. I think that's probably what she'll do. I'm more just going to be interested how Casey Snowden bounces back, how the Lawmuir bounce back.
Yeah.
Do they even make the final? It's not going to be easy for them.
I think it's good runs if they made a final, mate.
Honestly. Yep. I'd agree with you there.
Sarah Healy doubling up. Didn't even notice that when I looked before.
Sarah Healy doubling up. Yep. But yeah, I think that women's 15 is, yeah, it's Georgia's. But it's hard when you're the heavy favorite. It's hard to go and deliver. But that's what's impressed me most about her is she has just consistently delivered. So I guess not too much to talk about that women's 15.
No, I don't think so. She's just kind of above the rest, win it whatever way she likes. And I think she'll enjoy watching the 800 as well. Perhaps looking on to that and thinking, what if I was in there? Well, too late now.
I don't know why she's not.
Keep the fans happy. Georgia, if you're listening, just ring someone up. Get sorted.
Keeney's got a wild card in the women's eight, so we've got four in it.
Yeah, Keeley, Boffy, Riki, and Erin Wallace. Of course, Vera's in there. Femke's in there. Lamote's in there.
Burgoyne's in there.
Burgoyne's in there.
I think Phil Gosh, previous medalist. Yeah, there's some really... This is a hot field. And again, you're sort of looking at the Brits, you're going, could you see any of them make the final? I don't think so, just given the quality of these fields. Quality of this field. And I think the semi-finals are going to be extremely difficult. Bunch of women who have run 156.
I don't think Riki or Erin Wallace.
Yeah.
I thought Boffy ran well at commies.
She did.
That's about... But as in, like, I think if she runs like that, she could make the final.
Wait, let me check socials, because I'm just trying to think if I saw something about Izzy Boffy not doing the European Championships. She tore a calf. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she ain't doing yours.
All right. Well, she's not making the final then.
She's not making a start line. That's true.
Mate, yeah. I don't think we have anyone else as a backup entry.
No, I think it's too late to plug him in. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't bother researching, you know, sort of delving into that. But yeah, is anyone else on the standard? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
Well,
but
no one's on it. Whereas for the other events, I say like
we've got Rene, that wait list. Yeah,
Rene is on the women's 15 list.
I think you might have had to enter a reserve by that point. Yeah,
I think because we've already got four probably. I think I'd be surprised if Riki makes the final. I'll be surprised if Erin Wallace does as well. Let's talk about the front of the race, though, mate. It's Keeley medal.
This Keeley medal.
Wow.
Crazy, man. No, definitely medals. Look, for me, when you deep it...
I think there's more chance of Keeley not medaling than Arlo medaling. And you've said Arlo's going to medal.
What? You think there's a higher chance that Keeley doesn't medal than Arlo medals?
I think she will. But, yeah.
She definitely will.
I think there's a world where she doesn't, though.
I don't know. It's all going to depend on how well Femke Bol's running. It's all going to depend on that. If Keeley is getting rocked by Femke Bol and Audrey Vera coming to that last home straight throughout this race, I think that is going to be it's going to be a...
That's
really...
That's what I mean. I think she either wins
she could be a sitting duck. Yeah, she could be vulnerable to others. The others just aren't... They're just not on her level, man. You know, she's an Olympic champ. She's a world record holder. She is so good at the 800. She's had time. She didn't go to the commies. She's had time to get things right. For me, there's two approaches that I've got at the moment. There's one is Audrey Vera just simply better than Keeley. She's 2 years younger. She's run faster over 600. She's run faster over 400. She's run faster over 800. And yeah, and like obviously at the fastest time we've seen in what, 3 or 4 decades. Yeah. Is she simply just a better runner than Keely? Which Keely will obviously rise to the occasion to step up, but that's kind of what I'm starting to just look at it and go, do you know what? Ferrer is just having an incredible season, and right now
she needs to prove it though on a championship
she
level.
She needs to prove it. It's going to be, and this is what I mean by Keely. You know, she needs to probably look at that and go,
championship performer she is. Yeah,
yeah. And Keely needs to go, right, okay, right now on paper, Audrey Vera is better than me.
I can't wait to watch the heats of this, you know, and the semis. These are the events where like you're looking for anything you
any
can.
Any weakness, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas like some of them, you're just like, oh, fucking hell. Like, I just can't be bothered to watch these because they're just too easy and you just want to wait for the final. But this is the one where like through the rounds, we can start.
Well, you can see that final. You can just, yeah, you can picture that final right now. You know, they all start on a stagger. They go over to the back straight. Who decides they want to go to the front?
And as you look around,
who's hitting 200 first? Who's going to control that race?
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Femke actually just like blasts it as fast as she can.
Well, Femke should for me. I think
she's not done that. I think she's just been tested. Yeah. She's just been going. But like,
I wasn't impressed with like her. I don't think she's got a good pace change.
No, I'm just like, just go for a 52.5, 53 and see what happens. She needs to run it like an under 17 lad getting in their first Grand Prix and just full sending it and seeing if she just blows everyone out of the water. I guarantee if she went for a nap, Keely and Vera don't sit off that much. I think they get too caught up in the race and they get right on it.
I think there's a happy medium. I mean, what did they, yeah.
Like deaths out there.
I think we saw Vera go through in 55, didn't we? So I think there's a happy medium. And you know what? Vera might just, she might just try that because she knows that. But this is where I think Keely's just tactical prowess is going to start to step in. I think she needs to judge this race really well, Keely. She needs to think, okay, how do I beat these people? If they go through fast, she is going to need to be a little bit more patient and try and sort of reel them in and strike. And look, she learned a lot from that Diamond League when she lost to Vera. And I think Keely will realize that she's got one attempt, you know, one attack, one card to play in that final. And if she plays it at the right time, she will kill them off. Yeah. And she can win. She definitely can win. She's an incredible 800 meter runner.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I think
of course she can.
Of course going into his championships, we're like, well, on paper, Ferry right now is in pole position, and Femke Bol is that horrible threat. If you get your race slightly wrong, she could be there to sort of sneak you as well and scalp you.
Yeah, and like we said, Bourgoigne and Lamotte as well, like having good seasons, running well.
Yeah,
experienced athletes. Yeah. Particularly Lamotte, experienced athlete, right? I'm excited for this one. I think
Vera is both.
This
Vera,
is the race of the champs, right?
Yeah, and the other flip side is both Vera and both Bol are extremely hard to get around. Hmm. You know, they are not easy overtakes. No. They've got huge strides. They put their foot down a tiny bit. They lengthen that stride up. Like it can take you the best part of, you know, 50 meters just to try and get round those athletes. And that is what is, if Keely does find herself behind them, that is what is going to be difficult for her. She's very rarely won a race from behind. If you look at all her races, she always wins from the front, Keely. And obviously she's the best. So she finds herself at the front 300, 400 in probably 99% of her races, but she very rarely has ever won from behind at the bell.
We shall see. We shall see. Yeah. Excited for this one. So what do you reckon, mate? You saying silver?
Up to him.
To the form book.
I'll probably will see silver.
We'll see silver. We'll have that for our joint tally, mate. I'm not going to upset anyone. Right. Men's 800s. Bergen and Patterson back. Point to prove. After the commies, I think. Mark English goes in number one ranked on season's best. Few more big names in there. 2 hours in there. Crashdown's in there. Kim McPhillips is in there. Bottrell, obviously, from a British perspective. Atui's in there. Yeah, it's going to be another tough champs for them too, I fear, for the Brits.
I disagree. I think Patterson's going to be in this sort of just like, right, I'm just going to give him my absolute best. I don't care. You know, he probably overthought commies a little bit. You know, got that slightly wrong. I think he's just going to be like, yeah, fuck it and go attitude. And I actually think Patterson could be, yeah, he could definitely medal. This men's eight's wide open. I actually think, I'm going to say two of the one of the favorites for me is Mark English, just the way he's been sort of putting his great performances in these diamond leagues and sort of running these tactical races, finding a little bit of room here and there. I think he looks really good. And I actually think Mark English will medal. And if he's meddling, then there's every chance, given how close the 800 is, that he can win.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. Who's missing out on the final then? Out of those boys I mentioned, because someone always does.
The three Brits.
Wow. Out of everyone. I mean, in terms of like the big names. So Atui, McPhillips, Crestan, two-hour, Patterson, Berg in English. Then all going to be in there.
McPhillips is a bit untested this year.
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough of him. I'd say he could be a little vulnerable for me. 2 hours still run a 1:43. Atui, I think, just finds a way, whatever happens. So they could be in there. The way Bergen ran at Commies, I think it could be a risk to not make the final.
Spol will make the final? Then all three of them aren't going to make it. Let's put it that way.
That's
not going to happen. I hope it does.
Borrell's positioning has been better than Patterson's. And I have been pretty impressed with Borrell. So he's got an outside shot making the final. Because like you said, there's Kramer, there's Crestan, there's all these, Leclerc, there's all these guys, Panici. Europeans.
You just know how to navigate the round.
Yeah, also they're not, there's just a bunch of Europeans who are sort of 143 high, 144 guys. There's lots of 144 guys in here. And, you know, all it takes is a 146 race or even just a 144 race, but they get slightly better positioning and they don't make as many moves and they don't panic. It's so brutal, the 800. As we saw at Commies, I think that was a big shock. But I wonder if Bergen will look to be aggressive and lead from the front, given that he did set himself up at Commies.
He has to.
I think that's the only way he can race.
Yeah. I think there's no point in like having one result like that and then thinking, oh, now I've got to change my whole approach.
Mm.
I think he has to just go out there and keep going.
Yeah, I think I think Patterson is someone who, when he looks at these fields, these guys are all good closers. Like, Kim McPhillips has got great clothes. Mark English has got great clothes. You know, that final 100, they're very good. And it's going to depend who you draw in your semi-final. But these guys, I think Patterson definitely has to realize that, look, I've got a great close, but let's try and close from third instead of eighth or sixth or seventh.
Yeah. Any medals for the Brits?
I do think Patterson can get a medal, 100%.
Can or will? What's your prediction? I'm going to push you for this.
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy at all.
Yeah, it's crazy because at the start of the season, you see Bergen open his season, you're like, but then just Commies is throwing me off.
And the Euros.
Honestly, Commies is throwing me off, yeah. I mean, Commies, I literally thought Bergen would sweep that. I think we'll get a medal in the men's eight. I don't know who will get it, but I think we'll get a medal in the men's eight. I'm probably like 80% Patterson, 20% Bergen at this.
Yeah, I'll pass any for one of them because I think Bergen, similar to my thoughts on Keely, he either wins it or misses out.
The problem is the race needs to be, there's like this crucial speed that if Patterson's tactic of like closing hard that last 100, if that like pays off, the race needs to be this like 142 mid to high race or 143 low race because it's like quick enough that if guys have gone a bit too quick that first lap, they will pay the price in that last 100. But it's also quick enough that guys don't have like this huge change of pace on it. Where it's like a 144 race, I think everyone's got a good change of pace. Like Patterson is you know, that last 100 is nullified because everyone else just has a good last 100 as well. But it's like a 145 is, you know, that sort of race. So, yeah.
Tough.
There we go. Yeah, I've said my piece.
Yeah. So that's a no for medals. Essentially, that's what we've concluded. Where are we up to, mate? So just one for the men.
Just one for the men. Is that it? We've done a women's eight, done a men's eight, done a men's 15.
That's on track events, mate.
Got a couple of marathons to discuss. I mean, it's more, the marathon's always difficult to judge, isn't it? But it's more the course. You know, it's an 8-lap course, 5K a lap, and you've got a little K start and finish straight. It looks great. For a spectator's point of view, it's going to be great because the women start at 7:30. The men start at 8:10. So in theory, they're just going to be all over the course for 2 hours, which is going to be epic if you're watching this thing. And it's hilly. I think it's like 50 meters elevation per lap. So over the course of 8 laps, that stacks up. It's almost as hilly as Paris. I think Paris is like 430, 450 meters of elevation gain. Obviously, Paris was basically a couple of big hills, whereas this is just every lap, which I think is a difficult dynamic for a lot of people, just constantly up, down, up, down, up, down. And so I think they're going to be, yeah, going to be very, very good. I think Mohamed comes in with like the fifth fastest time. Amanal Petros is obviously heavy favorite after second at the Worlds, but you know, so is Teferi of Israel. You know, he's a medalist at the World Champs in the marathon. He's a 204 runner, and he thinks he's won the Euros before, or he was second in Munich at the Euros, I think, Richard Ringer. So the Germans have got a good team. The Israelis have got a good team. And yeah, Mohamed, you would think, is going to be our first man home, all being well. Wayne Gabrielassie has an outside chance. But yeah, but that's Menzies. Unfortunately, in Ellis Cross, I'm sure many of you have seen on socials, he's had to pull out of a marathon, which was going to be in his home city where he grew up. That's a big shame. Because he was the one where actually, he had gone to the course, he had scouted it out, he was training on the course, and that would have paid dividends out there. So he looked like to be preparing well. You can never tell with people's marathon blocks, to be honest. It's all about what they do on the day in a championship style like this. But they are going to be very exciting. And the women, we've got a bloody strong team on the women's side. And again, on the women's side, you know, there are Europeans who have run 223. But we've also got girls who have run 223, 224, Rose Harvey, Abby Donnelly. And so it's like, what can they do in this style? What sort of tactic do you have? Do you just wait, see how you feel at 30K, and then decide if you want to make a move or not? But there's going to be a lot of opportunity to break people. Like, there's hills, it's very twisty. There's downhills, there's uphills. And with that is easy wins. You know, you do a couple of laps and you see people aren't climbing these little small climbs that well, or they're not very good on downhills. Gather information and then use that over the latter half of the race.
Yeah. How similar is it to the Commies course from a couple of years ago?
No idea.
Christ knows, mate. I actually no idea, mate. I can't, like, that Commies course isn't sticking. It's not jumping out of me.
not mapped out in the brain.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're all right, mate. I'm just trying to provide our listeners with some good information, that's all. But now you mentioned, mate, that obviously, mate, why is the women's team so much stronger than our men overall? Because we've predicted, and we're being obviously nice as well. We predicted 6 medals, 5 from the women and 1 from Jay Wyman from the men's side.
It's a good question.
It is. And I think it's been
the slowly, thing is, in theory, like, you know,
been if, bubbling that way in the past couple of years, though, hasn't
yeah,
it?
But I actually just think this is quite, you know, in theory, look, a couple of years ago, Mills medaled in the 5K, right? Wyman and Kerr didn't do the 15, but they would have medaled. So, you know, actually, if we had Kerr, if we had Mills, yeah, there's 2 medals there, maybe 2 in the 15. Mills is medaling in the 5. You know, and I think from a 5 and 10K perspective, a lot of the, you know, look at last year, Jack Rowe, and obviously Mills were not last year in 2024. Jack Rose in the 5K. He's moved up to the marathon. Paddy was in the 10K. He's moved up to the marathon. There is an argument if Paddy and Rose stayed at a 5 and a 10, would they be 26.50 runners? Would they be challenging for a medal? I don't know.
Or for a meal in the marathon.
Or like a meal in the marathon. So I actually just think,
there.
You know,
our
women do a better job at, I think, staying a little healthier. Don't seem to get injured as much. And they turn out for champs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we have it. So I think that wraps us up, mate. Gold medals for Elise Thorner, Georgia Hunter Bell. Silvers for Keeley, Jake Wyman, and Megan Keith. And a bronze medal for Hannah Nuttall.
Imagine we can play that back at the end of the Euro Champs. Tick, 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 tick. No, look, enjoy. I think all that's left to say, enjoy the BMC Grand Prix at St. Mary's. Absolutely stacked. And we'll probably review that as we review session number 1 on Tuesday
morning. Yeah,
men's 5K, Monday night, women's steeple heats, men's 8 heats. So Tuesday morning, we'll be back with another episode. And we want to welcome you. We've got a couple of people in the pipeline, but we want to welcome more people. So get on the podcast Tuesday. Just drop us a DM. And
that's what we're saying. 8 a.m. Tuesday.
8 a.m. Tuesday. And let's see what you've got to say about a men's 5K.
Yeah. So send us a message on Instagram. Enjoy the races. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys very soon.